Good evening. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
How are you? Good
Hello, I'm
evening.
fine.
Do either of you have questions?
I have, I think, two.
Okay. Why don't we get started then? Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, I read throughout the scriptures that a lot of the prophets prayed in caves. And I was just wondering why that is. Why did they prefer to pray in caves? We have a lot of scripture that talks about caves.
I'm not understanding the last word you said. Did you say tape or
Cave,
praise?
C-A-V. Cave, C-A-V.
C is in cat, A is in apple, B is in boy.
V as in Victor. E.
You're saying the prophets, oh, okay. They did their prophesying in caves in the Judean
Correct.
desert.
Correct.
Okay. And you want to know why that they go there to do their prophesying?
Correct.
Okay. The simple explanation is it's the same reason that Hashem took the nation into the Sinai desert. After receiving the Torah, they wandered for 40 days in the desert. Why? Because this is the home of Satan. It's much more difficult to connect to Hashem in a location that is connected to Satan already. And so if you are prophesying in that kind of location, you can be certain that it is true prophecy and not connected to the negative system and false prophecy. And you also need to understand where they needed to go, what methods and what techniques were used. Because essentially, they would dance until they were exhausted so that they could meditate or they could go into these other dimensions where they would be contacted by Hashem in the form of otherworldly entities, because only Moses spoke directly to Hashem. All the other prophecies were on a lower level. So they would go into these caves where they would be surrounded by their students. They would dance. They would drop into something called the prophetic position, which we teach in the Sefer Yetzirah class. They would go into locations. They didn't leave their body, but their consciousness went into locations where they were contacted by other entities. And they saw what they saw, they heard what they heard, and many times those entities would take over their voice box, depending on the lower levels of prophecy. the entity would take over their voice box, and they would speak. And their students would listen to their words and write it down. And as they wrote these words down, this is what became the prophecies. But when they came out of these quote-unquote trance-like situations, they didn't remember what they said. So if their students were not there, they wouldn't have prophesied. There would have been no recording of it. And also, we have to understand that it's quiet in the cave. It's cold. So that the energy can be dealt with in a more acceptable manner. All of these conditions contribute to the system of prophecy.
I'm
complete for the moment, so if you have other questions, feel free to continue on that same subject.
So are you saying that in the cave they were concealed from Satan or that energy being in the cave, that they were concealed or protected?
Correct.
Okay.
The caves are concealed. But the caves are in the mountains of the Judea desert, which is one of the homes of Satan. Remember, empty space is where Satan exists. And when you go into a cave, it is no longer empty space because there's something in it. It's a limited amount of physical space, and people are in it, which means consciousness is fulfilling it. So Satan is driven out just by that understanding. Any other questions?
Does Hannah have any?
Well, not really. I just noticed something that I would need to ask about an editing thing. I felt this year that I needed to study more the Zadokim that left this earth on my birthday. So last week I printed that page. And then this week, Judy and I were having a conversation, and I told her I would print a copy of her birthday because hers is the 14th of Shavuot, where mine is the 7th of Shavuot. So yesterday when I went to print it for her, I had to bypass mine because it's Zion, the 7th of Shavuot. And the doctor, well, the rabbi doctor that I had been identifying with each year was not there. But yet it was there the week before. And now there was a picture of books there. So I'm wondering, did something happen when the picture got put, or is it a message for me that particular person that I've been identifying with each year is no longer there?
I get emails, not frequently, but once in a while, from somebody who's telling me that the picture that is being used is not a correct picture for that tzaddik. And so we have to change the picture. And I honestly don't remember if it was something from the 7th of Shabbat or not. But we did have two of those in the last 3 months. where we had to change the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be the explanation.
Well, should I send you the copy of that particular Zadokim and
sure.
You put it back in?
And I'll run it. Well, no, I can't put it back in because I've been told that it's incorrect, but I can probably get the link so that I can send you the link of where to get that picture.
No, I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying. Let me find it.
You're
okay.
Saying are the words of that tzaddik, are the words of that tzaddik there still? And the only thing that's changed is the picture?
There's a picture near, it was by Rabbi Zvi Hirsch, which was underneath. He was the son of the Baal Shem Tov, and he was listed under Rabbi Moshe David Vali, I guess, but, you know, it's pronounced Vali. And that paragraph is not there anymore. At least it wasn't yesterday. And I just saw it accidentally missing because I was printing the 14th for Judy, but I had to go, you know, down the list. And because that was the Tzaddik that every year he was the one who stood out the most. And this year I thought, I really need to print that sheet and look at it more than just on the day of my birthday. Or, you know, so, and then it was gone today or yesterday. But there were a set of books which were very near. They looked like they were on the side of Rabbi Zvi Hirsch, the son of the Baal Shem Tov.
All right, I'm now looking at the Zion of Shabbat for the Tzaddikim. The first one is Rabbi David Biederman of Lelov.
Yes.
And you're saying that I see the pictures, the picture of the books.
Okay, now look. Do you see?
Then I see Rabbi Raphael Shlomo Lanayado. Next to the pictures, next to the picture of the books.
Okay, now look above that one, and you see Rabbi Zvi Hirsch, son of the Baal Shem Tov?
Yes.
Okay, now look above that. Do you see
Rabbi Mordechai David Levin.
Levin, okay. All right, but now Rabbi Moshe David Vali is gone. And the only reason I know it's gone is because he was the one I've identified with almost every year, which made me think, I really need to study these others besides Rabbi David Wally. But that paragraph is no longer there, and I just thought it was odd. And
Can you read me now the paragraph for him?
For him? Okay, it says Valley or Valley, 1697-1767. The foremost Talmid of Rakhal and Padua, Italy. He practiced as a physician in Padova. When the Ramchal was forced to leave Italy, Rabbi Moshe David was appointed head of his academy in Padova, also known as the Rama Devali. He wrote a commentary on Chumash, and in parentheses it says, Or Olam on Breishis, Brei Olam on Shemot, Avodat HaKodesh on Vayikra, and Shevetika on Bamidbar, and Mishnah Lamelech on Devarim, and that's the end of the parentheses, and then there's Na and
His last name is spelled Valle.
It's spelled Walli, and in parentheses, Vally, semicolon V-A-L-I. And I think I identified with him mainly because not only was he a Talmid, he was a practicing physician, and with health issues in our family, he was the Zadokim that would always stand out the most to me. But this year I felt like I needed to study the others more in detail, because none of them are really names of familiar persons other than just knowing that one is the son of the Baal Shem Tov, who was probably the first Zadokim that I really started studying, you know, when years ago.
Okay. If you do a Google search under the name Rabbi, R-A-B-B-I, Moshe, M-O-S-H-E, David, D-A-V-I-D, Valley, V-A-L-L-E, what comes up is a mechlochet, whether he was the student of the Ramchal or the teacher of the Ramchal. In the JewishEncyclopedia.com, he is the teacher of the Ramchal. In the Sephorim Center, he is the student of the Ramchal. He is also known because he's connected to Billy Phillips, who was studied, and he was, according to Billy Phillips, who said the Rav's, Rabbi Berg, said that this man was the person who identified the man from Nazareth as being connected to the Mashiach. And Billy Phillips does a whole series of lectures on that, which is on YouTube.
Okay.
So I don't remember why it was taken out, but I think the reason it was taken out was the change of pictures, and it just inadvertently got overlooked. So if you'll mm-hmm. send me a note, I will look into it in more detail and get it resolved, because I'm not seeing anything that's just on the surface without going into detail tells me that his date of death, which is what his Hilulah is. So I need that date to know where he should be put and to confirm that he is actually on the 7th. Because I do have people going through this and to verify all of this. So, but I don't remember exactly what changes were made.
Well, I know it's.
And then there is also a system in the internet where you can look at all of the pages of the internet in previous versions. They're kept online for the most part. They're always there. That's where you get this idea that the pictures of the young girls, the selfies that they're taking in the nude never disappears from the internet, because they have these web pages that literally just catalog all the various web pages of the internet. Whenever there's a change, they keep the picture of that. They keep a copy of that change, so they have it before and after. So if you look for it, I'm sure you'll find what you're looking for on the internet still. And it'll help you to clarify it.
The change came about within these last 2 weeks, because when I printed it a couple of weeks ago, there was no pictures. And then
That is consistent, because I remember getting an email from one of the people that that does this work, who made the change. And because I don't remember seeing that picture of the books before, that mm-hmm. may have been the change, and it could have, the way the HTML language is laid out, it could have overlaid the words, and they may still mm-hmm. be there underneath it. I haven't looked. But okay. send me a note on it, and I will do the research.
Okay. I can just send you the paragraph if you need to put it back in, so, because I'm sure I saved it.
What you were reading is the paragraph that shows up on the Google search under the JewishEncyclopedia.com.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what has been on the Yeshem Hillulah's pages for years.
I understand, because, but that doesn't mean that it was, you know, we're constantly verifying it. It could still be
right.
wrong. And if it was, okay. I'm not going to put it back. But if it's right, I will.
Okay. All right, that was my question.
Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else? Maka, you have any other questions?
Yeah, I have one more question. As we were doing the Psalms this morning, this came to my thought. And my thought was, why did Shem create a day starting at sunset until sunset the next day? And my thought, we were talking about the worlds, different worlds, I think, this morning. And my thought was, is it because the carrying one world into that day into the next day? I don't know why I was thinking that way, but that thought came to mind. And I don't exactly know what point.
I'm not quite following it. I understand the question. It's a good question. But you were saying that the reason that occurred to you for why Hashem created the day starting at sundown, I didn't hear the explanation for that.
I think we were talking, or you were speaking of the word worlds, WORLDS, in Psalm 21. And that's when the thought came to my mind, why did he create a day starting with sunset?
Because the word olam has the meaning of concealment. It gets translated as world or universe. The phrase olam va'ed is eternity. But olam, actually the shoresh of olam, comes from the shoresh, the root that means concealed. And what is concealed? Darkness, sunset, nighttime is concealment. Now, why is it necessary for concealment before the daylight? Why is it necessary that night come before the day? Has to do with the adage that I also spoke about today, that you first must conceal in order to reveal. So because we start at night, then when daylight comes, we're revealing the light. We start with concealment so that the revelation, the revealment, will come forward. If you start with revealment, then when you conceal them, then when you conceal, you're in an incorrect order. And we also, on a very physical level, if you read the verse in Genesis, it always says there was evening and there was morning, day one, day two, day three, day four, and so forth. So the Torah is telling that the day starts in the evening at sunset. Is that complete? Is that clear? You're still questioning it.
Yes. No, that's clear. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions?
Oh, I have a comment about last night. I was sitting at the table, and I happened to look out the back door. It was still daylight. We were waiting to start our Tishrei Seder. We had decided we would do it last night rather than today, since I had to leave during the day. And it was still daylight. It wasn't dusk, but that moon, that's the full moon, you know, of Tu B'Shvat, was just super extra large, and an aura going out from it, and it was still daylight. I don't think I've ever seen that happen before, where the moon was shining as if it was the middle of the night, bright and big, and aura coming out from it, and yet it was daylight hours.
You've never seen that before? Because I have.
No, I haven't. I've seen early morning times, many times when I was driving to school, I'd see a little part of the moon showing, maybe. But very light, not as if it were the middle of the night and the moon aglow.
Mm-hmm. I have seen it in the afternoon, and I've seen it, late afternoon as when the moon starts to rise at different times of the month. Sometimes it's in the,
mm-hmm.
full moon. Sometimes it's in the, partials, the first or third week. But I never ask a question to get an answer. What's the meaning of it? I know on the practical, physical level, the meaning has to do with when the moon rises, and we are able to see it. But you're really not seeing the moon in the sense that it's bright, because the sun is still shining. But you're seeing the transition for the reflection. When the full moon is there, that moon is getting a lot of light. It's getting light all the time. And so that reflection is what we're seeing when that happens during the daytime. But it's also either early in the morning or late at night when the daylight is not strong. And so the moon can shine through it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have never really thought about what the spiritual cause of that is.
Well, I just wondered if that had something to do with revealment, since the night wasn't concealing your son.
Yes, it does have to do with concealment. It has to do with revealment after having been concealed.
Okay. It was beautiful, I tell you that.
I'm sorry?
I said it was very beautiful.
I know it is. I remember seeing it. Don't see it often, but I have seen it.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, last year for Tu B'Shvat, I was in New Orleans, and my grandson was with me, and I had my iPad. And, of course, it was night. It was dark. And we took several pictures of the moon because it was so beautiful. And I was just thinking of the difference in a year But here it was, still daylight, and it wasn't dusk. It was, you know, it was still really daylight. And there was that big, beautiful moon and shining with aura, you know, just as if it would have been nighttime a year ago. And it was much bigger than it was, you know. So to me, there was a big difference. And I kind of thought maybe it might have some chance of showing a change in this cloud that's been over America for so, you know, between the differences with the polarity of the people.
I believe that there's a blue moon that is turning red. And I believe it was last night, and that's probably what you were seeing.
It was a blue moon.
Yeah, it was a blue moon that was turning red, and there's all kinds of mystical forecasts as to the meaning that's on the internet. So feel free to do the research.
Well, I'd heard the newscast when it gave the weather report said that we would not be able to see the blue moon in Lake Charles. But they did show the picture of the moon that I had just called Tony to come and see and go outside, and I took a picture of it. So we were not, the blue moon was not going to be visible here in Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I do understand.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No, sir.
You all have a beautiful evening.
Okay, you too.
You too.
Shalom.
Shalom. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to do this investigation, and that is breaking all the rules and the tradition and the customs. He is with a few staff, I think, acting as an agent of the White House and has